If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Crest Media Group and CMG Podcast, also Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sanders Sanchez. How you fellas doing?
Chill, you?
Doing good, baby, doing good.
Guys, it's Friday. I'm excited. It's my favorite day of the week. Obviously, I got a little Friday fatigue, but you know, it's all about being adult. We work hard, so it is what it is. I'm excited, though. A lot of basketball coming up this weekend. We got some fight nights going on, but I want to start off with last night's showdown in Utah, because now the Clippers find themselves in another hole, guys. First, they found themselves in an 0-2 hole versus the Mavericks, and now they're in an 0-2 hole against these Utah Jazz, man. And I'm pretty sure our buddy Jace, who loves watching our show, he's ecstatic as is seeing his Utah Jazz having some playoff success at the moment. But Pride, I'm gonna start off with you, because the Clippers right now on a big hot seat again in this playoff series. So, you know, is this the beginning of a Clippers end as currently constructed?
I mean, first and foremost, bro, I think we found the Clippers' new identity. Because I don't know about them, bro. They love going 0-2 this postseason. I don't know what it is with that, but I guess we found their new identity. So I'm not going to give up on the Clippers yet. I'm going to hold out a little hope. Because frankly, top to bottom, this Clippers team is better. Now, the problem with them, unfortunately, is just they come out flat. Like, they don't care. And they got Donovan Mitchell looking like the second coming of Michael Jordan. Every single time he shoots, it's almost going in. And like the kid is looking like a top five player all time. Not in the league today, all time, bro. Like it's ridiculous. Like, and it's crazy. And again, I'm gonna put some of the blame on Kawhi. I'm not gonna lie. Kawhi does need to share some of this, bro. But another dude who's somehow skating by is that man Paul George. And yeah, this is just crazy to me. In games in which players have shot 25% or worse in the post-shot clock era, Paul George has 10 games in the playoffs as such. 10.
Will you call him what's his name?
He don't deserve it. He don't deserve it. He don't deserve it.
No, what you call him? What you call him?
Frankly, I don't even want – he don't deserve it. Matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? Number 13. Until he got to earn his name back. We call him number 13 on the street.
No.
He was blessed.
You got to hit him. You got to hit him with the George Paul.
No. He don't deserve it. From now on, number 13. Now it's going to be in stages. Now the next game he does better, we'll call him Pandemic P. Then if he does two games in a row, all right, George Paul. Now if he three games in a row, all right, we'll call him George. Now if he goes on a stretch, I'll go back to calling him Paul George. There's it's just absurd to me. I don't know what Ty Lue's job is. I don't know what his job is. Now I was talking mess about Quinn Snyder, about how he there's a lot of stretches where he gets out coached, and that this team is being very opportunistic. Now everything I said about that, yeah, multiply that by infinity, because I don't even know what Ty Lue is doing, bro. If I didn't know better, he's the Clippers model for their masks, bro. Every time they got a new design, yo, Ty Lue, throw this on, and he'd be like, oh yeah, look at this side, ooh. And it's embroidered too. Like, I don't know what he does. Like, why is he here, bro? And then you got Kawhi, bro. I've been told Kawhi, best two-way player on the planet. Okay. I'm seeing some solid offense. What? Is he like me and there's no D? Like, what's going on here, bro? Like, this man is playing no defense whatsoever, bro. And I'm like, look, I understand. You got Paul George to help you out. But when Paul George isn't doing nothing, your job is to be like, you know what? I'm going to clamp it down. I'm going to hold it down. Paul George, bro, it's just blasphemous. It's wild to me, bro. I was watching bits and pieces of the game, and I couldn't. I couldn't watch the whole thing. I couldn't. I would rather, and I'm not even a Clippers fan, bro. But it was just so bro, look at this, bro. Look at this.
It was bad,
and ready to the funny part. They're so mad. And it's crazy because if you look at them, like if you listen to the post-game interviews and stuff, They desperately, so bad, want to blame somebody, but they don't know who to blame.
They're going to try to blame Doc Rivers again.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, they trying to blame. They're like, oh, my God, bro. Because last year, remember, I said this before. First, it was Doc Rivers. They didn't know how to adjust. Got him out of there. And Kawhi wanted Ty Lue. They got him in there. Lou Will and Montrez were a cancer. Guess what? They let Montrez walk, and they traded Lou Will to get Rondo, the point guard Drew wanted. And another problem was Pat Bev. Guess what? Now his minutes are coming down because now Rondo's playing. What is going? Like, it's like, bro, at some point, bro. Look, like I said, I think this Clippers team is better top to bottom. I do. But they're not playing like it. They're not. And frankly, I don't know what it is. I'm coming to the realization that you will never win a championship with Paul George as part of your big three. That's the realization. At first, I just thought as your best player. Now I'm looking at his best. Now I'm like, if he's part of your big three, I don't think I'm starting to believe like that's not possible. Kawhi Leonard, look, in terms of his defense, they call him the Claw. Whoop-de-doo. Well, my man, bro, I don't know what claws you got, bro. You need to get some Tyrannosaurus Rex claws, not some kitty claws going meow. Like you need to be that dude. You need to be holding Donovan Mitchell down, because when they got rid of Luka, everyone's like, "Whoo, no one's gonna do that." Now you got Donovan Mitchell looking out here like, bro, I'm the best
averaging
player on the
40.
Planet. Yeah, I'm like, come on, bro. And it's crazy.
Averaging 40, bro.
And it's crazy because the way they're playing, every time he's got the ball, and a pick comes, they're like, "Someone else will get it." Like, if Paul George is on him, he'll go, okay, whoever's on the other side of that pick, no matter who it is, whether it's DeMarcus, if it's Rudy Gobert picking and it's DeMarcus Cousins, whether it's Marquise Morris coming up, they're like, oh, yeah, sure, they'll get it. And then whoever's coming up is like, oh, no, Paul George can fight through that. And now this kid is shooting. I don't think I've ever seen so many wide-open shots, like, in a playoff game before. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But to my knowledge, and this is just off the top of my head, I've never seen a star shoot as many wide open shots as Donovan is Mitchell. Not just last game, last two games. Look, man, I don't know what's going on because everyone wants to talk about the pandemic. Well, number 13, it's taking his pandemic P, and Paul, whatever, it's pandemic play, because my man out here trying to quarantine Donovan Mitchell so he can have nothing but wide open shots. My man 6 feet away talking about safety. Oh, social distancing. What? Bro, your numbers are social distancing, bro, because the difference between playoffs and regular season is absurd, man. Look, bro, thank God I'm a Celtics fan. Thank God. Because if I was a Clippers fan, I wouldn't be on the show. I quit. I'm not even joking about that. I'll quit. Because there's no way. Look, I get it. My team, we underachieved. We underachieved. But I've never in my life seen a team underachieve to the point and then be so brash about it. So cocky. We're down 2-0. It don't matter. Yo, Paul George, I get it. It don't matter because you're getting paid, bro. But understand something. When you run out of that money and you go to Steve Ballmer talking about, hey, Steve, you trying to give me something? Steve going to be like, where are the rings you said you won't go get me? Nowhere. Get him out of here, coach. So, bro, I'm not going to say that it's over for them. Because, again, they were down 2-0 against Dallas. They came back. We all know my thoughts on the Jazz. We all know my thoughts. The second most overrated first seed in the history of the NBA. And it's not even close. Not even close. Number one is the Atlanta Hawks that everyone knew. Oh, they had the best team. They were so amazing. Everyone knew they won't lose to Miami. And then number two is the Jazz, and number three is my Celtics. When we had Isaiah Thomas, when Rondo was on the Bulls, and we almost got swept by an A seed, and the only reason we got through it was because Rondo got injured. Yeah. I'm probably the only Celtics fan who would admit that. Everyone would be like, "Yeah, we were better." I'm like, "Bro, the only way we're better is if we're in Bizarro Land, where it's opposite land, bro. That's the only way you could have said we were better." But in terms of this Clippers team, bro, if they lose this, it's all going to come down to how good of a sales pitch Steve Ballmer can sell to Kawhi. That's all it's really going to come down to. Now, again, the thing that Steve Ballmer is going to have in his back pocket, the Lakers got lost in the first round. We lost in the second round. We are now starting to take over LA. That is the only thing you could possibly say. Like, and again, that's even being nice because you could say, you know, take a lot of over. Yeah, you could throw a quote. I'm talking to Steve Ballmer. Because Steve Ballmer's gonna believe, oh yeah, we could take over. He's gonna believe that in his heart. If not, he would not only would he not be buying a new arena, he would not be, bro.
It's under construction too.
This man, he played. I don't know if I could say this, so I'm not going to, but he's doing some things to Kawhi Leonard to beg him to come back. Okay, my man playing the foreskin.
We're gonna call them favors,
bro. Yes, he playing the foreskin banjo for this man, bro. Like exactly, yo, well, ding, like you feel me? And again, it's all gonna come down to what they do. Well, how good they could sell it for Kawhi Leonard. I think they have a chance, but going down 3-0, I'm gonna put it to you this way: if they go down 0-3, there's no way Kawhi's coming back. If they lose 4-1, okay, sure you can say if they get swept by the Jazz. Forget looking at Steve Ballmer. How you look at yourself and call yourself a legit player?
How you get swept by the second most overrated team and call yourself?
And the history that is the equivalent. That is the equivalent of if the Hawks had beaten the Heat. If that had happened, no. I'm being serious.
I'm being serious
because if that had happened, I'm just saying because if that had happened, we're looking at LeBron different. We're looking at D Wade different. And even though we don't talk about him, we're looking at Chris Bosh different.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that's kind of the same scenario they're in here. So they better hope and pray it's 4-1.
Can I ask you a quick question, though, Pride?
Go ahead.
If, let's just say the Jazz win this series, and hypothetically speaking, not only win the series, but sweep the Clippers, does this add any validity, at least to the Jazz, that they're a better team than what you think?
No. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. If the Jazz make the final, the East sweeping. Don't matter who it is. It could be the Brooklyn Nets. It could be the Bucks.
I don't care about the finals, but I'm talking about just this series.
It's the Clippers, though. It's the Clippers. Now, if this was the Clippers team who came out like mentally locked in, you got me. You feel me? But this is a Clippers team that, like, bro, like when you tell them, like when you tell the mental, they're out here thinking it's J. Cole's album. Solo with mentality. Like, you got Paul George. It's tough, bro. So, to be honest, bro, just because this is Clippers team, I'm going to have to say no. But go ahead, Light.
Yeah, yo, Pride, I agree with a lot of this that you said. You know, you made a lot of great points. But in my eyes, guys, when it comes to, you say, JJ, is this the last of them together as a team? It's all up to really what Kawhi does, because Kawhi does hold the player option. He can pick up or decline. So it's up to him. It's really up to him. If he wants to stay in the Clippers, and honestly, he's from LA, guys. So I can see Kawhi just saying, man, bump it. I'm home already. I'll stay and whatever. He's getting paid. I think at the end of the day, the way Kawhi is right now, he's starting to figure out that he's not going to get any better. He's figuring out that he already has his championships. He's already a made man. He's home. He's paid. It's really now, like, what can you do to surround Kawhi and Paul George? Because Paul George is still under contract. As presently constructed, JJ, they'll keep the core. I strongly believe that they'll keep the core. But as far as the rest of the team, the Pat Bevs, the Morrises, you know, Rondo on that 1 year, DeMarcus Cousins, who you haven't even seen step foot on the floor. A lot of the other guys, the surrounding players, I think you'll see a lot of those guys to move. And the only way the Clippers can be successful, guys, the only way I see the Clippers maybe taking that next step. I know you said Pride, the Jazz, that the Clippers can't win as Paul George is part of your big three. I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to say he can't be your second guy. I think the Clippers, the only way they can be successful is if they add a third wheel, if they do some Brooklyn Nets-ish and add a third wheel to them, because neither Kawhi, neither Paul George, I've been screaming about it all these episodes before, every time we talk about the Clippers, neither Kawhi or Paul George are the players to bring the best out of their surrounding cast. So they need a leader-type player, a guy that's going to make the team better. Either if you pry away a Damian Lillard or someone, some type of player that's going to, you know, take over and make everyone better, because neither Kawhi or Paul George are going to be enough to take you to the next level and win a championship. But the crazy thing is, I say all that, right? And isn't it crazy that this series, the Clippers can still win it? It's crazy as hell. It's crazy as hell. The Clippers can still win this series. And as even, and I might sound even crazier, Pride. If I do, let me know, brother. The Clippers still come out the West.
Yep, that's the sad part about it. The sad part about it, with all this, there's actually, frankly, if you're asking me, it's between them and the Suns.
Exactly.
And I'm saying if they meet in the Western Conference, I say that goes seven games. That's the crazy part about it. Like, you're not bugging at all.
So my thing, JJ, is like, do I believe they will make the changes? Yes. Do I believe that the Clippers are going to make the right changes? No, because like I spoke about it before, guys, you remember, I said it. Luka's coming. KD's here. Giannis, we'll talk about that later. He's coming. There's teams. The Lakers are going to be as crazy as it sounds, the Lakers are going to be better next year. You're going to be healthier next year. So the Suns are here. The Warriors are coming. It's like there's too many teams out here that the Clippers are going to have to try and compete with to get a title. And honestly, I see them like on some Reggie Miller-ish with the Pacers. They're going to have good teams, but they're just not going to have the right personnel. Kawhi already has got his ring. So there's no urgency in him being that hungry and to get a title because he don't have just one. He has two. In two different conferences. So I just think that, you know, I think Kawhi being a made man and, you know, just having his rings already, I just don't think either Paul George or Kawhi is going to make the Clippers and anybody they bring around them better to compete for a championship in years to come. Because many say it, guys, they were going to win a championship. This was the year to win it. This was the year. And even though I agree with you, I'm not going to count them out completely. But if they lose game three, as cliche as it sounds, King Jaffe, I'm sorry, brother. I love you. If the Clippers lose game three, they're done. And it's a wrap. So that's where I'm at with it, JJ. I think they'll keep Paul George, and I think Kawhi will stay. But it's the surrounding cast. But even then, who you going to bring? King Jaffe, tell me, brother, who you going to bring that's going to be a third wheel, or who you going to bring as a supporting cast to take you over the top? Because I still don't think you're beating any of the top heavy teams like Phoenix or maybe next year the Lakers if they come back with their weapons. So I that's where I'm at. Like I said before, they're in purgatory. They're just going to stay what they always been, guys.
Let me just hop in real quick, JJ, and I'll give you the floor. So Jose said that they need a point guard who can run the floor. That's why they got Rondo. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what Coach Lou is doing, because even when they have Rondo on the floor, they still have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard bring the ball up. So to me, that tells me right there the coach that Ty Lue doesn't do nothing. And to your point about who they can get, I don't think they should change the starting cast. You know what I'm saying? They should be on the phone the instant this series is over. With Portland, we want Dame, we'll give you Paul George. That's what they should be doing. If you do that alone, they don't have any picks, so they'll probably have to throw in like a Luke Kennard or maybe even a Zubac. You're probably going to have to do that. But if you throw Zubac in that deal and then re-sign DeMarcus Cousins to like a two-year deal, me personally, I'm good. Because now you got Kawhi Leonard to basically be like, you don't need him to do his thing. You feel me? Now you got Dame. And you said that Kawhi Leonard doesn't care about winning or he's not that hungry. I have to disagree. And the only reason I disagree was because Kawhi Leonard was, excuse my French, he was bitching about Doc Rivers not being the coach to get them to the finals.
Is it the same thing when I say he doesn't have the urgency to win a title anymore like he did before compared to what he is now? That's what I really mean. I'm not saying he doesn't want to win. Of course he wants to win.
Okay. So you're basically saying that
he got his chips. Like he don't have the urgency to you know what I mean anymore. You know what I mean? Like he's proven is what I'm saying.
You're basically saying at this point it sprinkles on top of the cake.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Saying it like that. Okay. Yeah. That does make sense. Yeah. Now you go. And like you said, this is. I don't want to say this is their last year, but this is the closest they're ever gonna.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying this is the closest they're going to get. I think in the next 2 years, they'll still be in contention if Kawhi signs. But I think this year is like the pinnacle. Like, this is like their best opportunity because the Lakers are out. And again, no disrespect, but to get, but right now, if they end up beating, they beat the Jazz and they got to play the Suns. If that, that's almost a cakewalk compared to whoever comes out the East. Whoever comes out the East, that's going to be harder for them to beat compared to the path is going to get there. You know, it's kind of funny. We say the Eastern Conference, and then all of a sudden LeBron comes West, and everyone in their moms wants to jump ship. But again, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, JJ, it's crazy, JJ. That's all I can say.
Listen, guys, you know, you mentioned King Joffe earlier, Sander. You know, we love King Joffe. He's a big fan of the show, our residential Clipper GM. Probably the only Clipper fan I ever met in my whole life. So shout out to King Joffe. But I hope you're watching, my man, because I'm going to tell you this. Your boys are cooked. There has not been a team in NBA history that has fallen down a consecutive series 0-2 and have won a championship. So I'm right here to tell you, my good friend, your Clippers are in a heap of trouble, my friend. I'm telling you, they cooked. I might have the Clippers in six, honestly, because the Jazz in six. Because the way I see it right now in the first two games, the Clippers have the best cast. Utah Jazz have the better team. They play better team basketball than what the Clippers do. I'll give you from the roster up and down. You look at the Clippers, you're like, this team is obviously the better team. But I see the Utah Jazz, and they are egoless people. They are okay with whoever gets the open shot. You see how disrespectful they left Joe Ingles open in the last couple minutes of the game, and he just flipped that shot.
Blew my mind, man. Because he's like one of the premier 3-and-D guys in this league, bro.
I gotta give Bogdanovich a lot of credit too, because I feel like he's really making Kawhi struggle out there in the field. And obviously, yeah, Kawhi is the better player of the two, but Bogdanovich playing some solid defense on him. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Bogdanovich. But to answer the question, is this the beginning of the end to the Clippers? Listen. As soon as the Clippers get eliminated, and they will, King Joffe, the New York Knicks will be on the phone with Kawhi Leonard and saying, what can we do to get you in New York? Best believe that, because the Knicks are a team on the move. And just like you said, Pride, LeBron left the East, and now everybody want to migrate over there. Shoot, you put a Kawhi Leonard in that Knicks team, they'll get some favorite votes to come out the East. Sure, I think they'll still rival Milwaukee and Brooklyn, you know, for the East title, and Philadelphia, of course. But sure, they'll definitely be in contention considering that they're already a good team. But listen, the way I see in the first two games, the Jazz are just playing better team basketball when it comes down to clutch time than it is to these Clippers, because the Clippers the whole season have had problems closing games. They blew the most games in the last 5 minutes in the regular season, and it's starting to show. And it's insane because you're talking about, oh, we got Kawhi, we got PG.
That's the craziest part.
You mentioned I love my man Rock Cardona. Thank you for watching the show. He said cook crispy. I tell you, that shit gonna be burnt, Rob. It's gonna be so burnt. And they can't even bite into it. But
that's not even burnt, bro. We gotta start kitchen fires, bro. That's how bad.
You know what's crazy? The Clippers are so lucky they did not face a team with Luka and Donovan Mitchell on the same team, because look at what they both did.
That's a sweep.
Yeah. You know, but nonetheless, you know, like I just see them just underperforming against better team basketball. And you're right. You know, Quinn Snyder is not supposed to be out coaching the coach for the Clippers now. Ty Lue, thank you. You know, like Ty Lue's supposed to have the advantage.
Don't deserve it. He lost his name. Like number 13 lost his name. The Clippers coach lost his name too.
He just coached.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Don't even call him coach. Call him assistant. Kawhi the coach.
I think that Jose made a great point. You know, they got rid of Lou Williams to bring in a Rajon Rondo, who was supposed to be the point guard for them. Yesterday, Rajon Rondo got a DNP coach's decision. Because they'd rather have Pat Beverly on the court. Are you freaking kidding me? That the same guy who you know can't do nothing for you in the last couple of seasons, you're going to put him out there after you expended some resources to get Rajon Rondo? Why did you get him for then, Pride? Why did you go out and get Rajon Rondo? So he can just sit there and look pretty? Come on, man. We all saw the way he ice grilled Kawhi after he airballed that three in the first round against the Mavericks. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe he's in the doghouse because he got in Kawhi's face. But I think he did the right thing, because if my superstar who says he's the best two-way player in the league, like you said, listen, I think Kawhi at this point, his defensive status is more based off his reputation, because he won the defensive player back when he was back with the Spurs. But I will say this. I think that a lot of his defensive game product goes away because he's now expending so much energy on the offensive side of the ball. So obviously you're not going to be as effective on the defensive side as you were originally would be if we were just focusing on one side than the other, Pride.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Paul George, gotta get rid of Paul George. And I'm telling you this right now, the only reason Paul George is still there is because he's too scared to hold Kawhi Leonard accountable. And you're right. LeBron, like, Kawhi Leonard's not LeBron at all.
He needs a point.
At all. He can't be running point. He tries. Ty Lue drunk. He's not drunk, bro. He's not drunk. My man high. My man smoking, bro. My man off it, bro. I don't know what he's smoking, but I need some, bro. Because if that's – bro, my man looking in a catatonic state, coach, sometimes like – and I be thinking my internet buffer, bro. Remember how we talk about Garrett Cole and how he had that pause? I be seeing him like this. And I be like, yo, what's going on my internet? All of a sudden, I see this. He put the mask on, and I'm like, oh, so this is live. Bro, I'm telling you, bro, this is getting ridiculous, bro. Like, you got to get rid of Paul George, period. Because the thing is – if you want Kawhi Leonard, Panda, we don't call him that no more, bro. He lost the privilege of even being called that. We call him number 13. He don't deserve it. He don't deserve a nickname. But I'm going to tell you this, bro. The thing is, every time they have Kawhi Leonard exert his energy on defense, who runs the ball? Like, who then gets the ball? Who runs the offense? And who be taking shots? Who be bricking it? I don't know who's shooting out there, number 13 or Dwight Howard. I don't know. I can't tell the difference. I can't tell the difference sometimes.
I want to make another point about this Clippers team, because you mentioned earlier, Sandra, about these role players, which one are going to go, which one might be stay, considering how it goes. Why do I feel like this team leans on Marcus Morris or Markieff Morris? I'm not sure which one they got, one of the Morris twin brothers. Marcus, why do they lean on him so much? Don't get me wrong. I like Marcus Morris. I think he's a good player. But in the last minute situations, they're giving this man the ball when you got 13 and Kawhi Leonard.
You want to know why?
That makes sense to me.
You know what that tells me? That tells me nobody on that roster believes in number 13 no more. They don't believe in him. They see what he is. I'm telling you this right now. Rondo checked this man one time in practice. And now you got Serge Ibaka, who just had back surgery, laughing at him. I'm telling you, bro. I guarantee you, Rondo pumped him so hard that when every time Paul George tries to run a play, you'll be running this. You got Luke Kennard saying, nah, get out of my face. Bro, Paul George got no respect on that team. He needs to go. And that's what I'm saying, bro. Send him to Portland. I'm going to say it, bro.
Paul George and Kawhi, they ain't got the cojones for the moment, bro.
Kawhi has it. Leonard has it. And I feel bad for him because he is the best player on that team. So he needs to bear some of the culpability on him. But I feel bad because they put him out there and he'll play defense and he'll do his thing. And then Paul George going over. So then Kawhi is like, so then now he's got to run it. So now he's got to exert energy. So I kind of feel bad for Kawhi. I'm telling you right now, bro. I don't know who Paul George don't got no respect. Like, no, he don't. He go home. His kids tell him to take out the trash. I don't care what nobody says. And I know about it. I know about it because my son does that to me. He can't even talk to me about Kawhi. And I'll be like, yes, sir. I'm Paul George. I'm changing my name to Paul George right now, bro. Because he get no respect no matter where he goes, bro. No matter where he goes. So, frankly, bro, they got to get him out of there. They need to
Who gets the table to the VIP first? Paul George or Kyle Kuzma?
Kyle Kuzma. And the reason why I say Kyle Kuzma, he younger, but he low-key a little more lit. I mean, look, listen, as horrible as he is on the court, his party's low-key be lit. Paul George is the type of dude who'll be like, hey, sit down. Excuse me, can I get some Chardonnay? Bro, you in a nightclub. What you doing, bro? Get him out of here, bro. Paul George get escorted out before 10 o'clock at night. You're the only dude I know who get escorted out.
Guys, we all know the best person to throw the party is Paul Pierce. If we're going to throw about any Paul, Paul Pierce is the party god. So yes, we
already know. That's pandemic P right there. That's pandemic P.
Paul Pierce is the party god. So we already know. But nonetheless, you know, it's going to be an interesting series. Climbing back from an 0-2 deficit. We'll see what they do. But I do want to flip over to the east side because yesterday I saw one of the strangest games I've ever seen in my whole life, Sander. I haven't seen a game of basketball not reach 100 points in, like, forever. You know, last night the Milwaukee Bucks held Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets down to 83 points in a victory for the game three. And we were over here talking the other day. Listen, if they get beat in Milwaukee, that's a sweep. And it's a very bad look for Giannis. And for the fact that they won a very sloppy game, sure, I'll give him credit. But, you know, I'm not sure whether this Bucks team should be encouraged or discouraged going into game four because it was just such a strange game to witness. So, Sander, if you're the Bucks, should you be encouraged or discouraged going into the next game?
Oh, you should definitely be encouraged in the fact that you're not getting swept. Because honestly, that right there was ugly and disgusting. And check this out, guys. If that's your best shot, if that's what you're banking on to win this series, to hold the Nets four games under 90 points, my man, I think what you should do is call your wife right now. You know, start packing. Make sure she brings out the red panties because it's going to be a series that's going to be over in five. I guarantee it. Because I don't believe KD. Check this out. It was a bad game, right? It was a bad game. And what do we talk about? On a bad game, KD gives you 30. Gives you 30. So I don't care, yeah. Okay? I really care what you're going to say. If that's your best chance, you really think KD is going to go 11 for 28 again? Huh? I'm not banking on that. Just like how Pride said in last show, if you're going off hopes, if you're hoping KD's gonna be off again, if you're hoping,
no. You know you're not allowed to say that because you're the same dude horrible. Who said hope every other sentence with the Dallas Cowboys. So no, horrible. You should not be saying that.
Rob, bro, come on, man. I got the next one in this series. I can't have KD out. Come on, man. But anyways, look, bro. That was their off night, guys. Pride. The off night. That was the great
defensive team.
They only won. Check this out. They only won by 3 points. You held them to under 90 points, and you only won by 3 points. If you could have blew them out. They didn't even have James Harden, and you still scored the same amount of points that you did when they blew you out. This is no excuse for why the Giannis and the Bucks should not be spanking the Nets. They should have took advantage. That this right here, listen, if it was 80 to 100 and Milwaukee routed them, just straight up ran them out the court, then yeah, they should have their heads held high because guess what? They probably figured something out. Guess what? They didn't figure nothing out because if you're going to bank on Middleton scoring almost half your points with Giannis, if that's what you're banking on to win this series, God damn it, you no way in hell. You out your rabbit ass mind if you think that this type of performance from the Bucks is going to get it done. And if you truly believe that the Brooklyn Nets are going to be this horrible statistically, offensively, bro, like my man Price said, one of two things. You're either stupid or you don't watch basketball. And or, like I say, two things can be right at the same time. You're either both because there's no hell that the Nets are going to put up a performance like this again for four games. Get you crazy. Listen, Nets in five. At best, the Bucks are going to take them six games. But that's all. On a horrible shooting night, he still gave you over 20-plus points. On a horrible shooting night, okay? That was your best defensive. That was the best defensive shot you got. And if that's what it is, bro, you're not winning this series scoring 86 points. The Bucks are crazy if you think you're going to be winning the series scoring less than 90. This is what I said. I know that the Milwaukee Bucks can't do this for four games. But I know the New Jersey Nets, the Brooklyn Nets. I know the Nets can score 100, over 100 in every game. So I trust that the Brooklyn Nets will outscore Milwaukee more than I trust Milwaukee stopping the Nets to what they did. That's an aberration. We're not going to see that again. The only way the Bucks can win is if they outscore them. And I don't believe that the Bucks can outscore the Nets. I really don't. So unless you're banking on 1 for 11 for Joe Harris, unless you're banking on 9 for 22 from Kyrie, dude, you're not – listen, yo, you're not winning this series, bro. This is over in five games. If this was the best chance you got for Milwaukee, this series is not even competitive. As soon as James Harden comes back, they might as well just start packing every single game because they're not winning another game. That's it. Nets in five. Go ahead, Pride. Talk about your beautiful defense.
Can you do me a favor? Can you mute him? Just make sure he's muted. Because when I go on my, I gave him the floor. So when it's my turn, I don't want to hear nothing. Okay.
You didn't. Actually, you before you do that, I want to say the Bucks had an off night.
Let me ask you. No, they did. They okay. both teams had a off night. There's no debate. But let me ask you.
So you interested? Okay.
Go ahead. I'm gonna ask you a question. Did you watch the game?
Yes, I watched the game.
Okay. Did you watch game one and game two?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. Did you notice any defensive differences from game one and game two compared to game three? No, you didn't. Because if you did, no. You would have the whole soliloquy you would have went on would have been out the door. See, what the Bucks did, they said KD is going to get his. Kyrie in the playoffs shoots about 44%. So we have a better chance of guarding Kyrie and company rather than guarding KD. Am I right or am I wrong? I just want to make sure that I'm not being stupid. So I just want
to
make sure.
Didn't he ask me not to talk, JJ?
I'm asking JJ. I'm not talking to you.
I get your premise. Basically, they're like okay. Kyrie and company are going to have to beat us.
Yes. What they did was simple. You know what? KD's going to get his. Let's make sure no one else goes out. This kid, bro, I keep hearing about this guy who's somehow a sharpshooter. He's the greatest shooter of all time. Joe Harris, one for 11.
No, nobody said that. Okay? Nobody said that.
1 for 11. Okay?
This dude gotta be smoking dust.
Anyway, I don't know why you're talking. The floor is mine. All right, I let you speak. Just let me continue. Joe Harris went 1 for 11. Why did he go for 1 for 11? Because they were in their face. It was very.
Did you see Joe Harris's shot? He missed wide open threes.
Yo, he gave you the floor. He gave you the floor, Sander. Lying you gotta be ass. Respectful.
You ain't even watch those games.
Yo, he gave you the floor, right? Be respectful.
Good, baby. Go ahead.
Oh, it's my turn? Oh, my bad. So Joe Harris had an off night, and you want to make the whole thing on how, they guarded him. There were some shots, especially in the beginning, that they guarded him. See, when you play a game and you're playing a shooter who's just a straight-up sharpshooter, do you want to know what you do? You play. Again, that's fine. He had an off night. But is it possible that the Bucks made him have an off night? Is that possible? Is that no?
They only
right?
scored 86 okay, so, points. That's why.
It's possible for sure.
Is it my turn?
Come on, Pride. Come on.
No. Because if you're gonna keep going, I'll give him back the floor. If you got more to say, let me know, and I'll give you back the floor. Okay, just asking for a friend.
Yeah, you gotta stop interrupting, bro.
Y'all keep saying that he missed wide open shots, but y'all acting like they was leaving him wide open. Are you telling me all 11 shots were wide open?
No, but most
if
of them.
You're gonna
were.
Say that you're stupid.
No, but most point of them were.
Period. You're nope. stupid. If you
you're,
keep
right, you're right. You're right. You're right. I didn't say they were wide open.
But Blake Griffin, who everyone was like, "Oh my God, he came back and he did his thing." They held him in check. You got a whole bunch of guys. It's to the point where you got guys who are supposed to be contributors, because supposedly this team is deep, supposedly. But they're so deep that they only have, if I'm not mistaken, they only had three dudes in double digits, and Bowen, or Bruce, if I'm not mistaken. He was in double digits. He had 16 points. It took him 17 shots to get it. Now, I'm assuming the Bucks didn't play defense then. That's my assumption. The Bucks must have not played defense. It's bizarre. The Nets this year, it's so weird. When they don't make shots, they had an off night. Is it possible that it was the defense that they had? Isn't that possible that contributed to it? And if you say no, again, you don't know what you're talking about. Because when it came to these role players, the Bucks did what they.
He might have frozen there.
Yo.
Yeah, he might have connection. I do what he's saying, though. I'll pick up where he left off. I do think that two things could be true. I do think you can have an off night, and I do think that defense could definitely influence you to have a bad night. And I do think that the Milwaukee Bucks being back at home did play with more urgency, thus causing the Brooklyn Nets to miss more shots. You know, this is arguably one of the ugliest games and definitely the ugliest game of this NBA playoffs run so far, Sander. And listen, the Bucks did what they needed to do, win their first game back in Milwaukee, because you're right. They should be encouraged that they're not going to get swept now, because honestly, I can't see the Brooklyn Nets having another game like this, considering how talented they are. And you said they didn't even have James Harden back. Maybe they're going to get him back for game four. His status is still unclear, so that's still yet to be determined. But nonetheless, man, I do think that I'm not sure if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks. What do I walk away with that game to work on, to lean on going into game four? There's nothing to really lean on, because honestly, they could have blown the game if it wasn't for, what's his name, Bruce Brown, that ended up taking
They could have still lost the game.
The ball was still in KD's hands at the end of the day, and if he would have made that three-pointer to go into overtime, who knows what kind of game that could have turned out to be. I would have had the Nets winning in that clutch situation. So, I don't know, Sander. I just feel like they shouldn't be encouraged. They should definitely be discouraged, because this is literally feeling five-game-ish.
Yes, exactly. And like I said, it's not, they say it all the time, it's not the fact that you won, it's how you won. Because if this game would have been exactly the way it was, and let's just say Milwaukee scored, like, you know, maybe 100 points and held Brooklyn to 83, then congratulations. Yes, hold your head high, because you did something that's really, really hard to do. But you barely got through it yourself. So
they only put up 86.
And I'm not expecting Milwaukee to be this bad either. I'm not going to sit here and say that Milwaukee's going to be putting up only 86 points. But I tell you what, you're not beating, you know, you're not winning no series. You're not winning four games putting up 86 points. And that's what it comes down to, because I don't believe Joe Harris and the supporting cast is going to be that bad either. I know Milwaukee's defense is good, but I don't think the Nets' offense was that horrible. It's going to be that horrible. Dude, it was record lows for the Nets in shooting percentage, three-point percentage. It was record lows. And I don't think the Nets are going to be that bad four games in a row, because that's your best chance at beating them four games. You have to hold them down to record lows. And I don't think that with the talent that they have, like you touched on, I don't think Kyrie, KD, and if James Harden comes back, I don't believe that those three are going to allow an off night like that to happen again. So congratulations, Milwaukee. You got your game. You better come with more energy game four, because if you have that same energy in game three, Nets aren't going to just put up 83. They're going to smoke you.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But I do want to give credit to Pride and Sunday, because I do feel like the pesky Milwaukee defense did make life hard for the Nets yesterday. You know, they were smothering. You know, we actually had a Chris Middleton sighting, because prior to the first two games, Chris Middleton was a no-show. You know what I mean? The dude shot like – he was like 12 for 48 or something like that, if I remember right. And you can't do that. And then yesterday they combined for the most points for a duo in the totality, because I believe together they ended up putting like 73 points out of the 86. But
they put up 79%, almost 80% of their offense was from Middleton and Giannis.
And I don't see that happening again. You know what I mean?
That's not going to be the Nets.
And if it does, is that going to be enough to match KD and Kyrie? And, you know, he mentioned Joe Harris had a really abysmal night for sure. You know, going 1 for 11, and he went 1 for 9 from the three-pointer. I don't see that happening again. You know, like, it's just – that's very un-Joe Harris-ish. And I know he said that we called him the greatest shooter of all time. That's obviously not true. We know how Pride could be. But nonetheless, Joe Harris is a respected shooter in this league. But I don't think that he'll do that unless, you know, that trend does continue where, you know, they really focus down on the strategy. They're like, all right, KD's going to get his 30. Let's prevent Kyrie, Joe Harris, Blake Griffin. We're going to limit their production so they don't kill us collectively. And if KD gets 40 – we'll live with that, but everybody else is not going to go along with that ride and bury us alongside him. Welcome back, Pride.
Welcome back, Pride.
You know, like, I understand. I was just saying, Pride, how I agree with the concept. Like, you know what? If KD's going to beat us, that'd be it. But everybody else isn't going to come along for that ride, because that's really how they've been able to smother every other team in this playoff. Well, not even in the playoff run, but throughout the whole season. Kyrie gets hot. Blake Griffin gets hot. James Harden gets hot. And before you know it, you're like, damn, all these guys alongside KD are whooping us. So I get it.
Yeah. I bet again. Who do I? I didn't watch the game. So let someone else tell the story. I didn't watch the game. A guy goes 1 for 11. We just it's like I said, it's bizarre. I've never in my life seen a team when they have a horrible night, the other team gets no credit for it. It's not the defense that they put on them. It was just, oh, they can't shoot today. Oh, well.
You're going to give the Nets credit for holding it to 86
you
points?
You missed my soliloquy. I was saying that, you know, I do think that two things can be true in the sense that Brooklyn had an off night, but Milwaukee's defense definitely had a big part in causing the off night.
That's what I'm saying. So to your point,
the Nets had a good defensive night as well because nobody else from Milwaukee said, had, that's, right? Right.
If you want to call it, go ahead. My thing is every single time they got a rebound, who they give it to? Either Giannis or Middleton. Giannis so it's not like they went to like, oh yeah, Brook Lopez, you need to give us 15. It's not like that. It was more along the lines of like whoever. And if you really watch the game, most of the rebounds was either grabbed by Giannis or bizarrely Middleton. Like Middleton was in position for like some of those rebounds where he can just grab them and just jet. Like it was bizarre. Like they ran it and they ran a lot of ISO. It made no sense because like the second half they tried to turn it to like. Giannis would get the ball, and instead of running, would go, oh, yeah, let's run sets. I'm like, bro, I get it. You hit a three. You're 1-for-8, bro. What are you doing?
Do you agree they could keep it up, though, Prime? Do you think they could keep it up? Do you think the Bucks could keep this up, though? Do you think because obviously they have a chance.
Because, again, you're defending – again, it's Blake Griffin. It's Joe Harris. And I'm going to put him in the same – Kyrie Irving. It's the same thing. You know what I mean? So that's the only reason why I'm saying it. If it was a team full of KDs – okay, you got me. If James Harden was in the game, you got me. But he's not. It's basically KD. And if you want to put Kyrie in that conversation, cool, go ahead. But the thing is, everybody on that team, aside from KD, can be stopped. So if you're saying they can, that's crazy.
Nonetheless, guys, definitely one of the strangest games that we've seen in a long time. And I'm very excited to see what game 4 can look like, whether this is an anomaly or is it going to be a trend. That's yet to be determined. But I do want to transition away from the NBA because I'm very excited because one of the most exciting fighters in the UFC will be fighting tonight. And our very own CMG, Joe Aguirre, is going to join us for this block. My man, happy to have you. How you doing today?
Great to be here.
Yeah. How are you doing, Joe? How you doing?
It's all good. I'm not worried about the Yankees. Everything's going to be fine there. Gary Sanchez hitting 353 in his last 12 games, so watch it. It's coming.
It's coming. It's coming. Just like that 2-1, right? Oh, my bad. Why am I talking? I'm a silly boy.
Listen, you won it this time. Let's talk about a fight, though. Let's talk about this fight.
I've been waiting for you, Joe.
You're very disillusioned about this fight, so let's do it.
Oh, fantastic. I'm glad. Check it,
Joe. And I'm very excited for this fight because, you know, everybody loves a rematch and Israel Adesanya versus Vettori 2. It's going to be amazing. I think these guys, you know, I'm not sure if they don't really like each other, but it kind of feels like that. Like these guys are just really urgent to get back in that UFC ring and throw hands with each other. And, you know, Israel Adesanya did get the best of Vettori in the first round in a very controversial fight. A lot of people thought that Vettori won the fight. Nonetheless, you know, it's going to be cool, Joe. So going into 263, who do you think wins this fight?
Yeah, listen, Marvin Vettori definitely won the second round and smothered the bejesus. Adesanya looked like an amateur in round 3. It was pretty obvious who the winner was. And the funny thing is Israel Adesanya's done everything he can to avoid Marvin Vettori since that night in April of 2018. He wants no part of this guy. And do you know why that is, Pride? There's only been three guys in the UFC that have figured out Israel Adesanya, okay? Only Jan Blachowicz came out victorious by virtue of being 230 pounds on fight night, okay? Adesanya is not winning this fight. Adesanya doesn't know what to do on the ground. He does not know what to do on the ground. He looks like an amateur. Marvin Vettori is not going to stand up and throw hands like some of these other clowns who have fought Israel Adesanya over the last couple of years, like Paulo Costa, another guy, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. He wanted to throw hands with a professional kickboxer. Not a good idea. Robert Whittaker, same thing, dude. Anybody who's going to stand there with Israel Adesanya is going to get wasted, okay? You've seen Marvin Vettori's last couple of fights. He set a record against Kevin Holland for takedowns. This whole fight all night long is going to be on the ground. And Israel Adesanya, as great a fighter as he is, he's one of my favorites, believe me, this is a matchup nightmare. as of about 2 months ago, he wouldn't even say Marvin Vittori's name. He referred to him as the Italian. Okay.
Yeah.
There was one point where he was in a room alone being interviewed and laughing off camera to nobody at all. The dude's in his head. Vittori was just saying yesterday, Adesanya does the same stuff. He's learned no new tricks. And you saw it in the Błachowicz fight. He looked terrible in that fight. So what do you got, Pride?
I just want to say one thing. First and foremost, JJ knows I cannot stand Israel Adesanya. I despise him with every ounce of my being. As a matter of fact,
and I also know this, Joe. He gonna have more than one thing to say.
Yes.
Yes.
But I cheered for Błachowicz to win. I did.
Yeah.
But you did. For you to use that Błachowicz fight and use that ground game to then say Marvin Vittori can do the same thing, that's unfair. Because Błachowicz was almost 30 pounds heavier than this guy.
Even more.
So again, Joe, look, if I'm 200 pounds and you're 220, am I pushing you off me, legitimately speaking?
No.
No. Okay. I'm glad you said that.
Difference between Błachowicz and Vittori is Vittori wrestles.
Right.
It doesn't matter how big Kevin Holland was. He threw Kevin Holland around like a rag doll. You know what I'm talking about.
Keep going.
What is Adesanya?
Go ahead.
What is Adesanya?
He's
a buck 85. He's a skinny little mini boy. You're going to see he's going to get tossed around this ring like a rag doll.
See, it's funny, right? Because as JJ has thrown out sometimes, I do the videos on this, right? And I remember you kept saying that Vittori dominated Adesanya. So I took the liberty of rewatching the fight. Joe, the fight didn't go to the ground until the third round.
Right, and Vittori still won the second. Still won the second, standing up with Adesanya. What are you talking about?
Whoa.
You literally watched it then.
But I'm
you literally watched
how is
it.
How is he winning when Israel Adesanya is pegging him like nobody's been – the whole fight, when it was on the floor, from start to finish, Adesanya was pegging him. Hold on, John.
Did Vittori take an ounce of damage in that fight that you saw?
He was bleeding!
Was there a moment where his knees buckled? No, he won the first round. He lost the last two. How is he winning?
Listen, Joe, if you're gonna try to take me down and I sprawl, does that mean you won? No, you didn't take me down.
By standing there like an idiot and throwing hands with a professional kickboxer, Vittori was already winning the mental game, bro. That's how it goes.
Winning the mental game so much that his specialty is wrestling, and he couldn't take Adesanya down until the end of the the third round. Are you kidding me?
Adesanya's specialty is knocking guys for a loop and using his hands and feet.
And he was pegging him
in the first round. Not so he much in the second. Dominated in the third.
Where Vittori felt confident, and every time he felt confident, every time he felt confident, Adesanya would hit him, and the dude would back up.
Look at Adesanya backing up across the ring. Are you kidding me?
He just
controlling
hit him.
The fight, bro.
Oh my god,
Mr. Kick.
There's no way you're gonna say
there
that.
There you go. On the ground.
Doing what,
no
though? What is he doing?
He has no idea how to get up from that. Listen, Joe.
I will give you that point.
Because you're right. When he is on the floor, on the ground.
I was about to say that. When you get him on the ground, yes, there are times where he doesn't know what he's doing. I will give you that. But Joe, if I take you on the ground and I look like I'm trying to seduce you, like I'm doing to my fiance, Joe, that's not winning a fight.
If you don't think that's winning a fight, then you don't know what fighting is.
That's crazy, Joe.
Fighting is about dominating another fighter.
And he dominated
the person who dominated two of the three rounds was Marvin Vittori.
Joe, he dominated for 40 seconds in the third round when he had him on the floor. That's it. After that, the first round, he tried to take him down. He grabbed him and he tried to trip him up. Guess what Adesanya did?
Definitely don't agree with that at all.
Joe, matter of fact,
Go ahead,
Jay. Go ahead,
Listen, regardless of what you guys think, The entire card is packed. The main card, those last four fights are going to be great. You got Maya and Bilal, Edwards and Diaz. You got Figueroa. You got Figgy versus Moreno, too. If you ain't watched the first fight, do me a favor. Press pause. Go watch it. Okay, you're back. Thank God for doing that, because that was an amazing fight. And they're going at it again. I'm so excited for this second fight, because it was a battle. It was an epic war. Before you saw the fight, you would think, you would look at Moreno, you're like, damn, is he really going to hang with Figgy? Because he's been finishing and dominating his entire division. And Moreno put up probably one of the best fights anyone's put up against Figgy. And I'm excited for round two, because I got an upset. I got Moreno taking the belt from Figgy in the second fight. I think Moreno's made the proper adjustments to get it done second time. Now, to Vettori and Adesanya. Joe, I respect the Italian kid a lot, because the kid has a lot of fighting skill. But
he's not a scrub at all.
But guess what? You're really holding Blachowicz against him, when to Pride's point, he was way bigger.
It's the blueprint, bro.
It's the blueprint. But
the blueprint. Kevin Gastelum did the same. Gastelum did the same thing to Adesanya, and unfortunately also came up on the short end of a decision. He doesn't like to wrestle.
He didn't have the stamina either to hang with Adesanya, because Adesanya dropped him in the final seconds, and that was really the deciding factor of the fight, the fact that he was dropping him left and right. So at the end of the day, for that same reason, I don't think this fight is going to be on the ground long enough. You say dominating? Dude, no. That's not dominating. Khabib dominates dudes on the ground. GSP, he dominates dudes on the ground. Matt Hughes, when he was in his prime, he dominating dudes on the ground. Because
when they got you on the ground, they still work.
Just wants to get you on the ground and just hug you and just hold you.
Yeah.
And just, tire you out. That's not dominating, dude. That's just holding somebody on the ground to catch your breath. Because unless you're getting in a posture up, unless you're getting in a position to do ground and pound, you're not dominating on the ground. You're just bringing them down. I believe that this fight isn't going to be on the ground long enough for the judges to be like, you know, this fight hasn't been exciting at all. Vettori's been dominating, bringing them down. You think that he's going to break records bringing down Adesanya? I don't think so. Adesanya isn't Kevin Holland.
Also Adesanya has 9 submissions in his career. So if they do get on the ground even once, he could choke him out and end his night.
It can get ugly, but not get on the ground as quick and as fast as you think, as it did with Kevin Holland. Because
he's not going to rush it, and he didn't rush it against Holland. You'll recall he didn't get his first takedown until mid-first night.
He didn't have to against Holland, because Holland is not Adesanya, brother. Adesanya will put you out if you try to take him out. If you try and take him down, he has the power.
Kevin Holland doesn't have knockout power.
Not the accuracy at Adesanya.
Nobody does. But again, this guy already lasted with him once. The idea he can't do it again. He's also gotten better. And to address Jose's point, has Adesanya improved since that fight? No. Did he look like he'd been training and wrestling, going to fight someone like Jan Blachowicz? Again, somebody who he knew would wrestle him. And he still was unprepared and still looked like an amateur for 5 rounds, especially when it got to the ground. So spare me.
Nah.
That's got nothing to do with size, bro. That's got to do with technique and style. And this is a bad matchup for Israel Adesanya. If you guys don't recognize it's a bad matchup.
It is. Listen, that's not the disagreement here. The disagreement is because you think once Marvatore brings him down, that's it.
But just because it's a bad matchup doesn't mean Adesanya's going to lose.
Yeah, because the thing is, listen, hold on. Joe, don't forget, Herb Dean, who was the ref that first fight, is a ref who lets you work. The man had to break it up because Marvin Vettori was not working, and he was, excuse my French, trying to dry hump him, and Herb Dean felt offended to the point where he got to go, all right, look, bro, we got to stop.
Don't tell it. That's dominating.
Yeah, and my thing is, look, if Marvin
Could Israel Vittori, Adesanya get off the floor or no?
Yes.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't get up.
He got off the floor, and then Marvin had to go and bring him back down again.
Brought him right back down. Yes, like a rag doll. You're going to see it again Saturday night. You'll see.
But Joe, let me ask you a question. If he brings him down and does nothing, What is the point of it?
He's not gonna. Why do you keep saying him and do because nothing? That's what he, you think you think Marvin Vittori just takes people down and doesn't do anything?
No, no, no.
Are you joking?
No. Because what you're saying, because you're taking the first fight, right? And you're saying that he won. My thing is, he took him down, and Israel Adesanya from the bottom was outworking him, bro.
He had to work him because he doesn't have technique to get up. He doesn't know how to wrestle. What part of that don't you get?
And listen,
what part of he doesn't know how to wrestle don't you get?
Yeah, you're right. He can't wrestle. You're right. Yep. I'm not taking that point from you. But let's stop acting like Marvin Vittori had his way with him. He kept trying, and he couldn't do it. Let's stop acting like in the first round that he had him, and he tried to trip him, and Israel Adesanya literally pushed him off like he was a bully. Let's stop pretending like in the second round when he tried to shoot that he sprawled out and literally shoved him out to the side. It was like, what is this little kid doing? Again, Joe, you want to say the wrestling and you want to bring up the third round. Let's stop acting like in the second round, every time, like every single time Marvin tried to shoot,
the only people Adesanya has struggled with are wrestlers.
And that's
this
true.
Is a wrestler. A wrestler who already gave him shit the first time through.
And again, Joe,
nine submissions, six decisions. So Vittori gets hot, man, as the fight goes on.
Bro, the only
he's got stamina. He'll go all five.
He got stamina, but in the third round, the kid almost collapsed, Joe. I saw the fight this morning.
No, you're out of your mind. Let me get in here. Bro, he's got some of the best cardio in the game. Are you just making stuff up now? I think you were out of breath watching it, dude. I think it was you huffing and puffing.
Okay, I was a little bit
out of your mind, bro.
A lot of movement, so I was a little
out of your mind. You'll see what happens on Saturday night. Promise you, what's going to happen.
Let me get in here. And Joe, thank you for joining us again. Make sure you guys catch him on Throwing Jazz podcast every Saturday. Listen, I seen a guy in Adesanya that lost his first fight against John. I can't even say his last name. I'm terrible with the sport. The Hovitz, and listen, John's no scrub, okay? John is the real deal, but to try to compare Vittori to John is insanity. John is miles ahead of this guy, so for you to think that the blueprint will be the same, it's like you can't compare the two athletes and expect the same results. Adesanya has been 20-0 before he got that loss, so do I think that Adesanya is going to take it serious and work on his game, knowing that he's going to fight another guy that's supposed to, quote-unquote, be the kryptonite? I don't see that happening. I think Adesanya has too much pride as a champion and as a fighter to go out the same way.
So you think he's going to outlearn how to wrestle what Vittori's been doing since he was 14? You think Adesanya's going to learn how to stop takedowns?
No, I do not. But I don't think that he needs to. I think that gradually he will improve. And unfortunately, he's going to have to fight Vittori who has the same blueprint as John. And maybe he might struggle off the gates having to deal with that kind of fighter. But I don't expect him to get dominated the way he did John, because frankly, Marvin Vittori ain't John, Joe.
Can I say one thing?
Marvin Vittori is even better than he was in 2018.
I'm going to let you go, Pride. But you talk a lot about, did Adesanya learn to wrestle? Did Vittori learn how to strike better? Because at the end of the day, in that fight, Vittori wasn't the better striker. He was getting schooled when they were banging.
Bro, he controlled the center of the ring for the second and third round. He held the center of the ring. What are you talking about?
He was getting cracked.
If you're holding the center of the ring and you're getting pieced up,
he was getting hit by one of the hardest punchers in the UFC. And he couldn't knock him out. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Whoa, the kid's got a jaw. He's got a jaw. Yes.
And he's got stamina. You're donezo here, buddy. Donezo.
Come on. So Adesanya's all of a sudden has no cardio? His cardio's out the window? Let me ask you.
How many times have you seen him go the distance?
What is
how many times did Adesanya go the distance?
But when he has gone the distance, he doesn't look drained to the point where he
the
dude can't walk.
Do now to get the W that he didn't do in the first
fight? Let me hold on.
He should have got the W in the first fight.
Jay, okay, fine. Okay, you know, agree, disagree. Let me ask you a question, Joe. So you're telling me that basically Israel Adesanya cannot learn enough to stop the wrestling technique of Marvin Vittori. Is that what you're telling me?
He's a really good technical wrestler.
Don't do that. He's a much better technical wrestler
than Jan Blachowicz is. Yes. So in this short amount of time since that loss, do you think Adesanya's learned enough skills to stop the one thing that Vittori does really well? You think he's all loaded up on that?
He did a great job the first fight. But again, that's neither here nor there. Let me ask you a question, Joe. You saying that makes no sense. Because you know who else we had this conversation about? Francis Ngannou. When he went to rematch Stipe, everyone was like, bro, no way Stipe is going to win. I was the goofy. Was like, nah, bro.
Yeah, they threw him in a phone booth. That little baby ring? What was Stipe going to do in a baby ring? He had to stand. He had to be in range. Dude, he couldn't get near him. One step back, he was stepping on the cage. There was nowhere to move in that little baby ring with these two behemoths.
And it was so little, and it was so much of a baby octagon that when he tried to shoot Ngannou, all of a sudden he had plenty of room. He had plenty of room to shoot. And
he didn't have plenty of room to shoot. It got stuffed.
Now, let me ask you a question, Joe. They fought in 2018 the first time, correct?
Correct.
Who has become the better fighter since 2018? Marvin Vettori or Israel Adesanya? Israel Adesanya has obviously progressed a lot better than Marvin Vettori.
He got better fights.
Thus, being the better fighter, thus the learning curve.
I will say this, though. Joe. I'm not saying Marvin's a scrub.
You better not.
I'm not saying that. I'm not going that crazy. I promise.
By the way, Vettori hasn't lost since the Adesanya fight.
Right, but his
he's
last
undefeated.
Fight,
his last and Adesanya's is not.
Adesanya, who's this guy? Look, all I'm saying, because you keep saying that Marvin Vettori got better. It's only, frankly,
Kevin Gastelum almost beat him. Gastelum.
But
are
did
you
he?
Kidding me?
But did he?
No, because so he's not as good a wrestler as Vettori. Yes.
Joe, almost doesn't matter. Joe, I almost made it to the NBA. Joe, I almost didn't crash my car. Joe, I almost didn't have two kids. Joe,
Adesanya almost beat Blachowicz. Adesanya almost could be a light heavyweight, but he's not.
No,
so you're wrong again.
He's not, and I 110%, and I said he should not have taken that fight.
Do you have any more poor points to make or what?
So for Vettori.
The same thing took Marvin.
Who has Vettori fought since the Adesanya fight?
Well, he beat the bejesus out of Jack Hermanson. You saw what he did to Kevin Holland. He beat Carl Roberson and Cesar Ferreira.
Plenty of guys. And Adesanya, Whitaker is better than any fighter that Vettori just beat.
100%.
Absolutely. That's 100% true. And you know
like
what?
You know what?
Robert Whitaker is a stand-up striker. And how did that go against Adesanya? Poorly. But it's a bad idea to stand there with Israel Adesanya and strike. You will lose every single fight. You'll lose every fight. Sander, get with the program, bro. Marvin Vettori. If you think Marvin Vittori's going to stand there and get punched, you're not watching any of these fights. You got to stop that.
I'm going to get with the program.
Marvin Vittori's not stupid. Why would he stand there and get punched?
And I'm going to tell you
why would he do that?
Because he's look. All I'm saying is understand Marvin Vettori. He's a phenomenal wrestler. I'm not taking that from him. But we need to stop acting like in the first fight, every time he shot for a takedown, he had him.
Did I suggest that was the case? Did I suggest that this guy is you said Khabib or one of you said Khabib before? Did I suggest
you said
anything
he dominates.
Like that?
He dominated.
He dominated in the sense that Israel Adesanya for the entire second round was backing up.
And
he allowed Vettori
him.
To control the center of the ring. And then in the third round, when
him.
It was cool, and in order to what he believed was securing a win, he did some takedowns. That's what he did. That was the blueprint. It was the blueprint he saw Kevin Gastelum do.
But Joe, you keep saying how he controlled the middle of the ring. Joe, that's the last thing they rank you on. And when it comes to scorecards, the first thing is like is if you're being effective with your shots, effective striking,
right.
And
strikes, second thing is takedowns.
Third
thing is control.
And I'm still pegging
you. Thanks for explaining the UFC to me.
It's
very helpful.
Joe,
that was very helpful.
Apparently, Joe, you need it.
Tell me some other stuff.
For you to say, oh yeah, he controlled the middle of the octagon. That means he won. You can't say that because
is your comprehension that low? Did it even sound like I said that?
Like, did he
you
not
can't
just
be. Are you confused by words?
Like, you just said he controlled.
They're confusing. I know. You want me to talk slower? I'll talk slower.
Did you say he controlled the ring? Yes or no?
I could go slower.
Did you say he controlled the ring? Yes or no? I'm asking.
I did say he controlled the ring in the second round. That's what I said.
Oh, I was telling you to talk slower.
What part of he controlled the ring? He patrolled the center of the ring, controlled it in the second round, and he was tagging. He was tagging Adesanya, and
no,
he was taking his hits.
No, he wasn't.
Very well.
No, he
most
wasn't.
Certainly was.
No, he wasn't.
It's the reason why he won the fight.
No. This man out here, and Adesanya's looking like Keanu Reeves in the Matrix, going, "Oh, miss me." Come on, you can't sit there with a straight face, Joe. You cannot tell me with a straight face. You're not gonna sit there and tell me that Marvin was tagging him.
You should watch that fight again. And
matter of fact, take
your bias off and try watching it again, and we can talk about it.
I went in saying it doesn't matter. I went in looking at.
I watched that fight since it happened about a dozen times or so.
Well, you need to watch it a dozen more.
No, you do.
No,
you do.
You're wrong. Going to be great.
We've talked about this before, and I've explained this to you before, and you've been wrong about it before. Styles make fights.
You're right.
Israel Adesanya is a great fighter. However, guys do wrestle, dude. Not for nothing. I picked. You know, it's funny. Figueiredo's fighting Moreno, and I figured he was going to whoop Moreno's butt. And not for nothing, he did take that fight on 21 days' notice, which was insane. I assume a well-rested Figueiredo is going to destroy him. Now, I had picked Alex Perez to beat him, and do you know why I picked him to beat Figueiredo? Do you know why? Because the only guy who's ever dominated Figueiredo was Formiga, Formiga, a wrestler who took him down 9 times in the fight and tossed Figueiredo around like a rag doll. That's what good technical wrestlers can do to you. So that's what I'm telling you. If Vettori can't do that, he's dead meat. But I believe he will because that's his fighting style. The blueprint has been, it's been out there for a while on how you beat Adesanya.
And
like Jose Roman said before, everybody likes to stand there and throw hands, and it never works out for him.
It's just baffling to me. Like, he keeps saying the blueprint, but it's funny. The only person who could have used the blueprint was a guy who was like 25 pounds heavier. That baffles me. It's such a blueprint, but it.
Well, that was Adesanya's mistake for not putting on weight. He was very stupid
to do
that.
100%, that's on him. That's on him. Bohovic should have won that fight. No debate. But again, you keep saying, oh my goodness, yo, Vettori, he's going to take him down. I'm asking a question, and it's almost bizarre. It's almost as if you're ducking it. It's almost like you're not listening to me or you're intentionally ignoring me.
Probably.
Why is it that in the first and second round, when every time he tried to take down Adesanya, Adesanya basically grabbed him, brought him up, and said, no, young man, you're not taking me down, and then would push him? I'm asking for a friend. Because look, man, I'm stupid. You feel me? I keep it a buck with you. I'm dumb. If we did an IQ test,
and,
I would
and point. Yet Vettori won the second round. So
okay, matter of fact, let me poke your brain. How do you win the second round? Explain.
I do we have to go through the whole scoring thing again? Are we
gonna
play this game?
I'm asking for like
I'm telling you right now, when I watched the fight the first time, 1-1 going into the third, Vettori wins the third. That's 2-1. I don't know how else I can explain this to you.
Because there's nothing to say.
No.
Before we let you go, I need a prediction, and I'm sure there's going to be some Skittles thrown around for this.
This is going to go the distance, and Marvin Vettori is going to win by decision in a really close fight.
Hey, Joe, whatever you're smoking, I need some, bro. Because if I'm allowed to be out
there,
come over. Let's smoke it. You like this stuff. It's potent.
Hey, Joe.
And it really clears your mind.
I got a question for you, Joe, because, you know, this is a really intriguing fight out of the whole entire card as well. If anything, the crowd might probably hear the bigger reaction for this fight for any fight in the entire card. And that's Diaz and Edwards. That's a big fight for both fighters, especially for Edwards, who's trying to, you know, move up the ranks to get a title shot. Diaz is out here still. Hey, I'm Diaz, bro. He's still trying to be, you know, relevant. How do you think this fight's going to go down?
Nate Diaz is one of my favorite guys of all time.
Same here.
Bro was ripping a joint at the press conference yesterday. So even when he wins the fight, they'll probably overturn the win anyway. Yeah. And it'll work out for Edwards. Dude, I mean, he seems so fired up, man. And it seems like, you know, Leon Edwards is a really good fighter, but I've always felt like he's just not quite that step up where he needs to be. Obviously, Nate's a little past his prime. It's going to be a banger. I got Diaz winning the fight.
I think it
goes the distance. I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I think Nate's going to look like he lost, and he's going to pull out a close one.
Yeah, I got Edwards, but... Yeah. This is one of those fights that, like, if you were to tell me I have to bet money, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. Yeah, I'd rather not watch it. Because this one.
If I had to bet money, I would bet on Edwards, probably. Yeah, but if I'm betting with the heart, it's Diaz all day.
Yeah, because the thing is, yeah, like, because Edwards is younger. You did make the case that, you know, Diaz is a little out of his prime, which is, honestly, that's the only reason I'm going for Edwards. That's the only reason. That's it. If they were the same age, I'm going Diaz, and it's not even close. But the fact that, like, you know, not, and if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Diaz injured, and that's why he couldn't fight, because they were supposed to have this fight prior. With that, I mean, you know, I just think it's kind of, I mean, obviously, you're still going to get Diaz. He's going to come out. He's not going to care. We're going to see some Stockton slaps. I got Edwards, and for the, I got Figgy. I think it's still going to be a banger, but I think this one ends in a knockout. I think both of them are going to come out and be like, nah, I'm trying to end it. It reminds me a little bit of when Manny Pacquiao, the last time he fought Juan Manuel Marquez, when normally Manny Pacquiao didn't care. He'd be like, yo, I'm just trying to win. This was one of the few times in his career when he says, I'm going to knock him out. Like, I want that knockout because I'm trying to end it. I don't want no debate. I don't want no conversation. I want to knock him out so prove I'm better. And I feel like both these guys want that knockout. And I think that's going to go. So if me personally, I think Figgy's going to get the knockout. So, but I mean, honestly, bro, it's going to be a banger. Like,
I got Figueredo, second round KO, about 2 minutes into the second. I think he'll catch him and pop him.
This card is a great card.
Even before
the Leon Edwards fight, you got Bilal fighting Damian Maia. And remember, guys, Bilal is coming off that no contest with Leon Edwards. So let's just say Leon Edwards loses this fight and Bilal wins this fight. Bilal wants that fight with Edwards because, you know, that was going to be a good fight. So it's a great card, man. It's a great card.
Absolutely. And UFC 263 is going to be a banger. I know we're all going to watch it. Joe, thank you again for coming on here. And I'm pretty sure, like I said, we'll all be watching. So it'll be exciting.
Yes, sir.
Skittles.
Yes,
on the
sir.
Line.
Yes, sir. Skittles,
baby.
I'll report back Monday.
Oh, you better. Thank you, Joe.
Nonetheless, I'm very excited. Now I really got to watch UFC 263. I was already going to, but now I'm even more hyped for it.
Yep.
You know, but. Nonetheless, I do want to transition to our favorite topic on Fridays. It's the Stir the Pot Blazer Predictions presented by, you already know who it is, our friends at Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure that you have like experienced professionals handling your financials. Make sure you guys ask for Haiti and make sure you let her know that your friends from Stir the Pot Sports and CMG Podcast sent you. But yeah, Pride, hit me with your prediction this week, baby.
So I'm here to spite Joe. I hate Israel Adesanya. He makes me support a man I hate. I despise him with great intensity. In a perfect world, I would want him and John Jones to fight so John could just beat the bricks off him so we could probably never speak with him again. And then I'm not even a John Jones fan at all. So now I got to hate Izzy for making me root for a druggie. So I'm in a conundrum. I hate my life. I hate everything I'm doing today. But I'm going to go Israel Adesanya. It's going to go to the decision. Yeah, Marvin Vettori, look, bro, I like the guy, but come on, bro. Like we talk about in the welterweight division, it's Kamaru Usman's time. This is style bender's time. There's just no debate there. You know what I mean? Like, Joe almost came. I almost had a heart attack, bro. I'm not even in my 20s.
He was about to throw his PC.
I was about to just swing it, bro. But, you know, I got Israel Adesanya. I think he's going to try to change things up. He's going to want to try to take it to the ground. My thing is, fresh, you're not going to be able to take him down. So now you have at least two rounds where you're going to have to try to outwork him. you're not going to be able to do that because now you're putting yourself in a position where you're going to lose. So in his mind, he's probably thinking, I'm going to go be down 0-2, maybe 1-1 at best. Third round, he's going to try to do takedowns. But again, the last time he tried to do takedowns, he got stuffed. And he, frankly, he didn't really get takedowns until Adesanya was just like, bro, I won the tired. Fight, so it doesn't even matter. So, you know, I got Adesanya. If Adesanya loses, frankly, this is – honestly, there's no stakes for me, to be honest. Because if he loses, he lost. And I hate him. So, yay. You feel me? But at the same time, if
well, you'll have to hear Joe's mouth. So I
guess I'll be good with it. But I'm good with it. You want to know why? Because I ain't got a son yet. So I'm good with it. I'm with, it's kind of like
when last he week. Loses, he wins.
Exactly. It's kind of like last week when I said the greatest team in all the sports, the Boston Red Sox. When I said we were gonna win 2-1, right? When we swept y'all clean out the face of the planet, it's the same thing. I lost, but guess what? In life, I won. To quote Tony Ferguson, I may have lost the fight, but in life. I'm winning in life. So that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go Adesanya. But like 10% of me hopes he gets knocked out so I can just – we can never speak to him again. But at the same time, you know, I got to go.
I love it, Pride. Go ahead, Sandra.
Yo, well, my prediction, I feel like when I wear this shirt, I kind of have good luck. So my prediction this weekend is we got two playoff games. We got game 3 and game 4. Currently, a team is up 2-0. I got the Phoenix Suns. Sorry, Jose Beto. I love you, bro. I love you.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I got the Phoenix Suns sweeping the Denver Nuggets. I just feel like the Phoenix Suns have too much for the Denver Nuggets to handle. I don't think the Denver Nuggets have enough firepower to match up with Phoenix, especially led by Chris Paul. I think this is Chris Paul's time to be in the Western Conference Finals. I got him winning not game 3, but I got him winning both games. Two games. I got him winning and sweeping and getting them Denver Nuggets out of there. Joker, you won MVP. Congratulations, but you don't got your boy. You don't got your running mate. You can't compete, bro. Get him out of here.
Well, I know who's not getting an invite to the family cookout this summer because I know who's going to be.
No, I'll be invited. I'm just not going to get no food.
You're there for the pickings and you out.
Nonetheless, hey, bold prediction. We'll see if it comes true. Now, I got a prediction too, and, you know, Pride, you've done a few predictions that just to spite me. So this week I was like, I want to do a little something for Pride, just a little something for Pride, because your greatest gods, greatest organization in God's green earth, Boston Red Sox, do play that team from up north, Toronto, right? They do play the Blue Jays, I think that my guy, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I'm not sure if it's going to be in a winning effort or a losing effort, but I do think that he's not going to hit not one, but two long balls against you boys and get that home run lead back. So, you know, we're all big Vladdy fans, so I think we all want success, but I know as a Red Sox fan, you hope he strikes out every game coming up against you guys. So I got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hitting two home runs versus your Boston Red Sox.
Just for you, I hope he goes 4-for-4 with singles. I want him to, I hope he gets singles.
Look, man, and by the way, Robert, you said Sox could eat a bleep. Nah, brother. Y'all don't do that. Because I get it, you're a Yankees fan, and then we still riding high after getting you un guayatazo. Yo, bro, the Red Sox did to y'all what my mom used to do to me every single time I came home with F's on my report card, which was every semester. So I don't want to hear about how we can eat it. No, bro, I don't want to hear it, but I will say this here.
4-for-4, straight singles.
I'm not doing nothing else, bro. I'm gonna be tight if that's what happens.
Bro, if that happens, guess what? You gotta call me Mystic Mac because I predict these things, bro. Call me Conor McGregor.
Nonetheless, you know, I know we're all big Vladdy fans. I do hope he has a good game. But like I said, I think he hit two home runs, and I think he'll come away from the weekend being the home run leader, and we'll see how that goes.
We'll see.
You know. Nonetheless, guys, very spicy show. I love what we do here. So the Pod Sports, you know, having Joe is always great. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pod Sports. Also, make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at Stir the Pod Sport and on Twitch TV / Clover Crest Media Group. Also, make sure you guys check out our website, clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pod Sports for our latest shows or our content. There's awesome website. And make sure you guys check us out on Spotify. And make sure you guys give us a download on CMG Sports and Stir the Pod Sports will be right there. Guys, very spicy week. I love it. I love what we do here. You know, I'm very excited now for UFC 263 more than I already was now because I know on Monday we're going to come here spicy as a mofo.
Yo, Joe, do not duck me. Because when you come back here, you're going to have to apologize to Israel Adesanya. Oh.
said, I don't want the smoke. That's fine. That's fine. You know why? I know why? Because we don't believe in smoke. We should be believing giving. Why not? Bro, that's what we believe in, bro. That's what we believe in. That's what we're here to do, bro. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Robert, Jose, everybody who comments on the show, thank you so much. We appreciate you guys always watching along us and pitching in with the show. We can't do this without you guys. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. We'll be here on Monday to provide you guys awesomeness once again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.